Hello, welcome to Refreshing Truth, the weekly podcast for River of Life Lutheran Church here in Goodyear, Arizona. My name is Pastor Lincoln Albrecht, and God's word for our consideration is the introduction to Jesus' Sermon on the Mount and the first part known as the Beatitudes from Matthew chapter 5. I'll read that now. Now, when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. This is the word of our God. Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. How important is your happiness to you? Your answer to this question might vary from year to year, even moment to moment, but not too much. How important is your happiness to you? An honest answer to this question recognizes that your happiness is important to you. There are times when your happiness is of some importance. You're more than willing to put your happiness on hold for somebody else, especially somebody that you care about. There are other times when your happiness is of great importance, especially when you've gotten your hopes up. We also must acknowledge there are times when our happiness is of ultimate importance. Nothing will stand in the way of us getting what we want. How important is our happiness? I suppose we all have to admit that our answer to this very question varies a lot in life. Having said all that, our answers don't matter so much. Our choices, our actions, and our reactions reveal a lot more about how important our happiness is to us than any response we might offer. You see, when we're asked that question, how important is your happiness to you? There is the answer that we think, the answer that we say, and the answer that we live. And they're all a little bit different. The answer that we say out loud is the most polished of the three. We know it doesn't reflect well in us to say that our happiness is of ultimate importance. The kind of people that say that are typically rude, self-centered, greedy, and inconsiderate, and we don't want to sound or look like them, so we soft-pedal and downplay just how important our own happiness is to us. But the answer that we say isn't exactly the same as the answer that we think. The answer that we think isn't polished. It's rougher. It's more bold, forceful, sometimes even competitive at times. The answer that we think is always trying to figure out if there's enough happiness to go around. We don't want to miss out. We don't want to get left out. We don't want to always have to take a back seat to everyone else. We might be willing to sacrifice some of our happiness to make someone we love happy, but we won't do that for just anybody, especially somebody that's treated us poorly in the past. And yet, the answer that we live to that question can be even more brutish. We say that we want our loved ones to be happy. We even think that that's true. But time and again, those people that we think and say that we love have the unhappy task of pointing out to us how our pursuit of our own happiness has caused them problems, grief, and sadness. Loved ones have had to confront us when we've behaved rudely, self-centeredly, greedily, or inconsiderately. And some of the time, we had no idea. When we have that eye-opening and humbling experience, we may begin to think that wanting to be happy is really the problem. But God wants you to be happy. That's what this whole section of scripture is about. God wants you to be eternally happy, or as Jesus puts it, blessed. Being blessed means being eternally happy. So let's look at those that Jesus says are eternally happy or blessed. It's the poor in spirit, the mourners, the meek, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, the merciful, those who are pure in heart, the peacemakers, those who are persecuted because of righteousness and insulted because of their Savior's name. What do you think of Jesus' list? It's strange, isn't it? I mean, if you and I were asked to come up with 8 or 9 different kinds of people we thought were blessed, I'm sure we wouldn't name any of the things that are on Jesus' list. Not only that, but most of these things are not what we even aspire to be. I mean, who wants to be poor in spirit or mourning or persecuted for righteousness or even the name of Jesus? We don't really want to even be like these people. But we do want to be near most of them. We feel blessed when we're in the company of those who are peacemakers or pure in heart. We're happiest when we're in the company of those who are ambitious about doing what's right and best for the people around them. It's a delight to spend our days with a person who's poor in spirit, somebody who's humble and unpretentious. It's a joy to spend time with somebody who's meek, someone who's considerate, sympathetic, eager to help in any way they can, or someone who's merciful, not harsh or demanding, but quick to forgive and forget, to comfort and encourage. We want to surround ourselves with people who are willing to suffer for their principles and their beliefs, especially Christians who have been persecuted for their faith. And we even appreciate knowing a few good mourners, not because we want to spend every waking moment with them, but because we know that in a dark time or a sad season, they'll know just what to say and do, or not say, or not do. Having these kinds of people in our lives makes us richer in a way that you can't put a price tag on. It makes us happier. We know that we're blessed by being around these types of people, but we sure struggle to live like this, don't we? Even when we try and be poor in spirit or meek or merciful, our pride and our arrogance pop up. Even when we desire to be pure in heart or a peacemaker, we find ourselves growing cynical, becoming quick to stir up an argument. We wish that we'd be more willing to endure hardship for the sake of our beliefs, our principles, our faith, and our Jesus. But when those moments come our way, we find ourselves complaining rather than rejoicing and being glad. Time and again, we know that we choose short-term happiness over the eternal happiness that Jesus wants for us and speaks of in these words. But these words from Jesus are not meant to show us how we can make ourselves eternally happy. Even when we try, we can't find the strength or the self-discipline to keep on doing any of these things perfectly, perseveringly. And really, that's not the purpose of the Beatitudes. The Beatitudes reveal what God values. God values your eternal happiness, actually, even more than any of us do. But God doesn't just say he values your eternal happiness. He does what he says, and these statements are promises from God about his will and his values, his words and his actions. These Beatitudes form a kind of outline for us of how Jesus lived. Because Jesus is the fullness of the deity in bodily form. He is God made man and true God. And Jesus shows us what God values. He carries it out. What God says is of ultimate importance. Jesus makes his highest goal and then fulfills that perfectly. And what Jesus did was live the blessed life, so that we could receive all these blessings and be eternally happy. See, when we look at the life of Jesus, one of the great challenges that we have is that Jesus was constantly living like these Beatitudes. So we can't walk through these characteristics chronologically. Every moment of his life here on earth, Jesus was living like these things. Though Jesus was divinely rich, he made himself poor so that we might have the kingdom of heaven and become and be made eternally rich. Jesus humbled himself. He was poor in spirit, not just our brother, but our servant, our substitute, and our savior. Jesus mourned. Not just when something bad happened to him, like when he was suffering and dying, or when his friend Lazarus died. Jesus mourned when he looked at a city that hated him for no reason, the city of Jerusalem. He mourned as someone who longed to gather these people under his saving wings, but they were not willing. Jesus mourned when the spiritual leaders of Israel refused to come to him and have eternal life, and when they instead viewed him as an agent of Satan instead of their savior. Yet the maker of heaven and earth behaved with unparalleled meekness. He was always putting the needs of others first. He was always sympathetic towards sinners. He was always eager to help those who were hurting and afflicted. He was always willing to teach. Jesus was meek. At the same time, he had a tremendous appetite for righteousness. At every moment, we see Jesus fulfilling the commandments of God. Now, if anybody had an excuse not to be in worship each week, it would be the Son of God. But Jesus made it his habit to be in the synagogue each Sabbath day. And that was the case, even though he knew his enemies were there, just waiting for him to slip up. Jesus made it his habit to pray regularly, though he was in perfect communion with his Father. He honored and respected those in authority, even though he knew that they were sinful and wicked and that he wasn't. And even when Jesus was persecuted for his righteousness, he refused to be dissuaded. He did the right thing despite the consequences. And Jesus was merciful with those who didn't. He knew that everyone else didn't have his appetite for righteousness, yet he freely pronounced forgiveness to sinners, to adulterers and tax collectors, to his friends who had turned their backs on him when he needed them most, and even to his enemies as they were executing him. Jesus was merciful. Throughout his life here on earth, Jesus exhibited that his heart was pure. He never lied or deceived anyone. He didn't mock his enemies or treat anyone as if they were beneath him. He relished opportunities to demonstrate how high and wide and deep the love of God is for this lost world. That's why Jesus came to be a peacemaker. He didn't come to establish peace the way the world understood it. He came to be the Prince of Peace by giving his life as a ransom for many. And as he died, the people who surrounded him, they thought he was cursed by God, but he placed himself under our curse so that we might receive his blessing. Jesus lived and died this way because that is what our God values. It's not just something that he says. These Beatitudes reveal to us how God thinks and speaks, how he lives and why he died. He did all of this because your eternal happiness is of ultimate importance to your God and your Lord. You see, it would have been easy for God to just say, you know what, I've given you a path to heaven, just be perfect as I'm perfect and you'll enjoy paradise. That statement, that offer, would have demonstrated that our eternal happiness is of some importance to God. Our holy God could have come into this world and taught us how to live holy lives step by step. That would have been proof that our eternal happiness is of great importance to our Creator, that he invests his time and his energy in instructing us. But our God went beyond all those things. He took on flesh and blood and our sin. All the times that we chose temporal happiness over eternity with him, all the times that we thought, spoke, and lived as if our concept of happiness was better than God's. And then our God did the unthinkable. The all-powerful Father watched his beloved Son die in our place. The everlasting Son of God gave up his life so that we might receive his blessing. And you are blessed. Blessed are you because of his poverty, his purity, and his peacemaking. Blessed are you because of his mournful death, his meekness in life, his mercy in dealing with sinners. Blessed are you because of his righteousness, which has been credited to you, transferred to your account by grace through faith. Blessed are you because you have seen God. Blessed are you. because through the waters of baptism, you have been called God's children. You have been made co-heirs with Christ, his son. Blessed are you because you are given comfort through his cross and his grave. Blessed are you because you share in the great reward he has earned in heaven. Blessed are you because you are already blessed, because Christ dwells in you. You live in these blessed ways more and more. You rejoice when God presents you with moments to put your blessedness into practice. So rejoice when you are reminded of how poor you are in spirit. Rejoice when you are called to repent, when your spiritual poverty is laid bare. Rejoice because in that moment, God is using the keys of his kingdom to release you from your bondage to sin, guilt, and shame. Rejoice. Your reward is great. Rejoice, even when you mourn. Rejoice when you are compelled to grieve the death of a loved one who has fallen asleep in Christ. Rejoice because you do not have to mourn the way the rest of the world does. You don't just cling to your fond memories, to this fuzzy feeling that that person's looking down on you. Rejoice because you know they have the hope of eternal life with God in heaven. Rejoice, dear Christian, your reward is great. Rejoice when you are presented with moments to practice meekness, when you're given opportunities to serve your neighbor. Rejoice when your time, your words, your resources meet their needs. Rejoice because your reward is great. Rejoice whenever you desire to do what's right in God's sight. Rejoice because you recognize that desire is not naturally found in any of us. Rejoice because the desire to do what is good, what is right, what is pure, what is lovely, what is hard but helpful. Rejoice because you do everything to the glory of God. This is proof that God lives in you. Rejoice because God has created in you a pure heart. Rejoice because your reward is great. Rejoice when people wrong you, when neighbors sin against you and desperately need your mercy. Rejoice because you don't have to do what the world does. Downplay their sin. Pretend that you're capable of being the bigger person. Rejoice because you have the riches of Christ's mercy at your disposal. You draw on his righteousness. Rejoice because God has positioned you to be a spiritual peacemaker. Rejoice because your reward is great. Rejoice even when you are persecuted for doing the right thing. Rejoice because this is how they treated your Savior. The world hated him without reason. They despised him. When they hate and despise you for doing what God commands, they hate you because they see Jesus in you. So when they curse you, bless them. When they mutter awful things about you behind your back, go to the Lord in prayer on their behalf and rejoice because your reward is great, because your God is great, and your great God has made your eternal happiness His greatest priority. Amen. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Refreshing Truth, the weekly podcast for River of Life Lutheran Church here in Goodyear, Arizona. My name is Pastor Lincoln Albrecht, and it was a pleasure to share with you God's truth from Matthew chapter 5. I pray that this word has encouraged you, inspired you, and most importantly, revealed your Savior to you. He is the reason we have a great reward in heaven. He is the reason we rejoice. If you'd like to learn more about this reward and our reason to rejoice, I invite you to reach out to me. You can find our contact information at azriveroflife.com. There you'll find ways to connect with me personally, visit our church, and be strengthened through God's word. We look forward to sharing our reason to rejoice and celebrating our great reward in heaven with you soon. God bless.